werewolves, eager to scent out and destroy any stranger on their turf. After all that urban training, promotion had finally come to the far-off northeast, where only a narrow strip of frozen sea separated Russia from the states of Deathlands, where a vill might be 100 miles from its neighbor. Zemyanin had always resented that obscure posting, unaware of how many enemies he'd made in the security hierarchy. Men who feared the stocky young man with the pockmarked face, shaved head, and the flat eyes of a psychotic killer. There was a piece of paper in a filing cabinet in Moscow that held the details of the major commissar. One question asked where he should be sent. The handwritten answer said simply, as far away as possible. Now, at last, Grigory Zemyanin had the chance to use those distant skills in urban combat. He picked his way silently through the accumulated rubbish of more than a century, the rifle snug across his shoulders. The 9mm Makarov PM in his right hand probed at the air in front of him with all the cautious delicacy of a cobra's tongue. His pulse was up a couple of points, the adrenaline racing through his body like the most delicious elixir. It was going to be good. Carter was a dangerous opponent, but he was crippled with the boy, and from the tracks, the young woman who'd been seen with him. Zemyanin had tried to put himself into his enemy's mind, best to tuck up the baggage somewhere safe, and then try to watch out for any threat himself. Which was exactly what Ryan Carter had done. The sights and sounds of the building when it had been running full out were impossible to imagine. The generators, crushers, conveyors, graders, and processors must have been deafening. Even now, stepping carefully through the darkness, Ryan found his head filling with awe. He stopped on one of the upper galleries, kneeling behind some tumbled display paneling, staring intently into the whispering depths below him. It was a relief to think that the young woman and his son were relatively safe. He didn't think that Zemyanin would attempt to rush the place during the night. The Russian was fight-wise enough to know that, even with the filtered moonlight, his men would take a devastating body count in the lethal maze. But he might send in one or two of his best sec men, or even come in himself. Ryan felt the hairs at the back of his neck prickling with anticipation. Something was moving down below him, a shortened shadow scuttling like a dancing crab, with a hideous, silent elegance. Zemyanin. Dean gripped the cannon in his hands, his ears straining at the stillness. He glanced a couple of times at the pale young woman sitting opposite him, looking toward the smaller doorway. She was holding her 5-shot snub-nosed revolver in her lap, her right hand on the butt. Kate caught the boy looking at her and smiled, her teeth white in the gloom. The boy wondered if she'd be any use when it got time to draw the ace on the line. Ryan had picked one of the smaller control rooms, high up under the roof, on the side of the building nearest to the cliffs. His order to them had been very simple.
If it's me, then I'll warn you. If it's not me, then blast away. Hesitate and you'll be chilled, both of you.
Dean waited. It had never occurred to him for a moment to doubt their chances of escaping from the building. His father was in charge, so it'd be fine. Zemyanin was as happy as he'd ever been in his entire life, enjoying an elation of spirit that was almost sexual in its power. This was what he'd been born for, to hunt a worthy enemy, man against man, with death waiting in the shifting shadows for the loser. He licked his lips, his eyes darting from side to side, taking the greatest care to keep a watch out for any sound or movement above him. That was what his grizzled old instructor had knocked into him.
In buildings, you can get killed from behind, in front, or to the side, even from below. 4 times out of 5, it'll be from above. Remember that, Zemyanin.
Grigory had always remembered the warning. A man in flight would instinctively seek higher ground. Ryan Carter would be somewhere in the concrete layers above him.
I wager my life.
Like a panther picking its way over black velvet, he began to climb silently toward the upper levels of the vaulted building. Ryan saw the Russian again, on the farther side of the main power room, above the rusting turbines, each 100 feet high. The dark figure was climbing toward a tottering gantry that would bring him into the highest floors. Over the past few days, since he'd left Jack Lauren and the rest of his friends, Ryan had been vaguely aware of a change in himself. His life had consisted of a number of differing periods: the frightened, tormented child, the teenager who'd run alone, become hardened to killing, learn the craft of death, the man who'd matured with the traitor, covering the land, then the leader of the small group, and lover of Christy Roth, now the father of Dean. Somehow, the days in the bitter cold around the sulfur mines had revealed a harder and more brutal persona. Without Christy and the others to temper his violence, Ryan could see that he'd slipped toward the ice-hearted killer he might so easily have become had his life not been different. It was a thought that disturbed him. In his inner soul, Ryan couldn't shake the uneasy feeling that he'd known all along that Semyonian would come after them, and that he'd left Dean and the girl up in their aerie as bait for the Russian. He began to move through the dusty complex of rooms and passages, his own heart filled with the excitement of the chase. Ryan became the ultimate hunter, the bringer of death. Neither of them said anything. Kate brought her blaster up very slowly, pointing it past Dean, toward the rectangular silhouette of the doorway. Dean had heard it as well, and was half-turned, his Browning high power drilling into the blackness. Dean pressed his back against the wall, sliding up to his feet. Opposite him, the young woman had done the same. Her finger to her lips, Kate inched toward the door, ignoring Dean's attempt to stop her with a warning wave of his hand. She peeked into the passage. It had been tracking with an infinite programmed patience, twice seeking the watery sunlight of the open hillside to recharge the fading solar batteries, waiting until relays were tripped and it was able to move once more into the blackness of the tunnels. Its sensors kept it moving, following the traces of the double helix that had been imprinted into its circuits. Once it had only missed the human by a scant 100 yards, finding itself the wrong side of a crevasse, unable to get across. Ladders presented an almost insurmountable obstacle to the lethal droid, though its insensate drive to kill had led it to make clumsy attempts on a couple of the simpler climbs. Now it was close, its vents sucked in the air, analyzing it, tasting the spectroscopic presence of its target. But it was also ailing. 100-year-old circuits were beginning to falter, giving microsecond delays in important relays, distorting information, making the sectroid hesitant. But it still found the act of killing absurdly simple. The knived fingers were long and powerful and had remained razor sharp. The young woman's slender neck parted like a mouth opening in a sigh. Her skull toppled heavily to the floor, spouting blood everywhere. Ryan heard the thin scream of white terror and began to run toward it. Grigory Zimyanyan heard the high, thin scream as well. He smiled and also began to run toward it. After the first moment of mind-rocking horror, with hot blood splashed into his face and eyes, the boy ran for his life. He'd barely glimpsed the metal creature that stood swaying gently in the doorway, its carapace clotted with steaming blackness. All that Dean had noticed was the twin ruby eyes drilling in his direction. Dean was out of the other door, his arms pumping, unbalanced by the heavy automatic in his right fist. Never for a moment did he think of turning to try to use it on the apparition. The gantry shivered under his pounding boots, and chunks of corroded iron peeled away and fell clear to the first floor. To his left, the hanging walkway had already collapsed, giving him only two options, straight ahead or to his right. Ahead of Dean, someone was moving fast toward him. Shaking like a leaf, the boy dropped to a crouch, leveling the Browning, finger on the trigger.
It's me!
Kate's dead. The fucking droid took her head clean off!
Ryan was nearly there, at the joining of the wavering gantries. Beyond his son, he could make out something advancing, with a grating, inexorable step.
Damn it.
Can we stop it?
Ryan put an arm on the boy's shoulder, feeling the shock trembling.
We could try, but the best steps we can take are fucking long ones.
Where?
That way's broken.
This one isn't too safe either. I can feel it moving and pieces are falling off.
Ryan watched the slow, shuffling progress of the droid closing the gap.
Best is the way I came. We can get into another part of the building.
He glanced over his shoulder.
There's someone...